because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of land. It is actually Today in Ag with Joe Metter and Joe Metter only. I am flying solo today. Jimmy is out of town and he asked me to fill in, which was kind of a little nerve-wracking, but at the same time, I'm very excited to be here by myself. I've been coming on here since January, which is crazy that it's been already like 5 months. This 5 months has blown by, but this is super, super fun. So we're going to have a good time today. I actually have some special guests coming on the show later today around 12:30, so they're going to get two whole segments of the show. We're going to talk a little bit about peaches, so stay tuned because that's going to be a really, really great interview. Well, it's looking to be pretty hot across the state of Oklahoma. Here in the studio, it is almost 97 degrees. When I got here about an hour ago, it was about 93 degrees. So it is steadily and pretty quickly getting up to 100. Up in Sealing, it is 94. Freedom is 92, a little bit cooler up in the north, not much. Slap Out is 94. Down south a little bit, Eric is 101. Hollis is also 101. Altus is 104 already. Man, they're way toasty down there. Over in the Texas Panhandle, Lipscomb is 95. McLean, 94. Wellington, 97 degrees. And down at Goodlett and Odell, it is 102 degrees. So much warmer down south. Humidity is definitely dropping. So if you are baling hay, I'm really sorry for you just because you had a very small window today. My dad told me that he got up this morning at like 3 a.m. He thought the humidity would be, you know, just about perfect, about 50% good baling weather. And then he said that the humidity was actually 95%, way too wet to bale. So he actually had to wait till later this morning. He started baling around 9:45 roughly is when the humidity finally dropped low enough where he could bale. But he only got to bale for about 2 hours just because it got so hot so fast and that humidity just dropped immediately. But if you are harvesting wheat right now, you are probably doing really great and really enjoying this dryness because y'all have been waiting to harvest for a while now. So y'all are probably having a good day. Those of us that are baling hay, not so much. We're trying to bale hay. I was supposed to be hauling hay today, but that obviously is not happening just because we are nowhere close to finished with that today. Well, like I said, later on the show, I will be having some special guests. That is the McKinnish family. I'm going to have them on the phone. They're from Hera, Oklahoma, and they have a peach orchard there. We're going to talk a little bit about that. But right now, let's talk about a few things that happened overnight. Soybean grain futures lower in overnight trading. Soybeans and grains were lower in overnight trading amid technical selling and on calls for rain and some extended weather forecast. Investors who were long the market or had bet on higher prices likely sold contracts and liquidated positions despite extremely dry weather and concerns for U.S. crops. Prices earlier this month had risen to multi-week or multi-month highs until about a week ago when the sell-off began. Precipitation is expected in parts of the central and southwestern Midwest today through Saturday, which will help narrow the area facing stress. Central and southern areas in the Corn Belt are looking slightly wetter next week, forecaster said. High temperatures will stress beans and corn in the Delta, but rains forecast in the 6 to 10 day outlook likely will aid crops. Soybean futures for November delivery dropped 19 and three quarter cents to $12.74 and a half a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up $7.10 to $378.30 a short ton, while soybean oil rose 29 cents to $56.83 a pound. Corn futures for December delivery plunged 10 cents to $5.51 a bushel. Wheat for September delivery lost 8 and a quarter cents to $6.90 and three quarters a bushel, while Kansas City futures fell 10 cents to $8.29 and a half a bushel. The USDA invests $500 million to make biofuels more readily available. The USDA will invest $500 million to raise availability of homegrown biofuels as part of the Inflation Reduction Act. About $50 million of the funding was made available in December through the Higher Blends Infrastructure Incentive Program, or also known as the HBIIP. Grants will cover as much as 75%, or $5 million, of costs to convert to higher blend fuels of more than 10% for ethanol and 5% for biodiesel. 59 projects were the first recipients of funding from the program and will receive a combined $25 million. The government will start taking applications for the remaining $450 million in grants starting in July. These grants will continue to support the infrastructure needed to lower out-of-pocket costs for transportation, fueling, and distribution facilities to install and upgrade biofuel-related infrastructure such as pumps, dispensers, and storage tanks, says the USDA. Troy Bredenkamp, the Senior Vice President for Government and Public Affairs at the Renewable Fuels Association, raised the HBIIP for helping make E15 and E85 available to more consumers. He says, this program is instrumental in bringing the benefits of biofuels to drivers around the country who want access to lower-cost fuel that is better for the environment and public health. Organizations including the RFA and the American Coalition for Ethanol have helped companies in the biofuels industry apply for and receive grants under the program since its inception in 2020. Also, heat waves move through the southern U.S., obviously, because it's like almost 100 degrees here, and I think our high today is like 105. Also, the air quality is low up north. Weather maps are lit up this morning as a heat wave moves through the southern half of the country, and smoke from Canadian wildfires leads to low air quality in northern states. Extreme heat will continue today in a large stretch of land from northern Kansas to eastern New Mexico and east from central Kentucky to the Gulf Coast, according to the National Weather Service maps. In central Missouri and southern Illinois, heat indexes will soar as high as 110 degrees each day through Friday. Much of Arkansas will see values of more than 110 degrees for at least the next 3 days. Ooh, that's hot. Air quality alerts have been issued for parts of Minnesota and Illinois and all of Iowa, Wisconsin, and Michigan amid ongoing smoke from Canadian wildfires. The Air Quality Index, or AQI, is expected to reach the red category today, meaning the air is unhealthy for all people. Anybody venturing outside should reduce exposure to pollution, especially those with health risk. So that's what happened overnight. Like I said earlier, it's very, very hot outside. My reminder for all of you is to wear sunscreen and drink a lot of water because we want to protect our skin and make sure we're not going to pass out because of the heat. So drink lots of water and wear your sunscreen if you are outside. That is my advice for you today. I have your crop grain prices up. Corn for July is $5.92, and everything's looking to be in the red again today, except for cattle, once again. Corn for September, $5.34. Corn for December, $5.39. Soybean for July, $14.37. Soybean for August, $13.52. For September, $12.71. Soybean meal for July, $3.97. For August, $3.90. And for September, $3.83. Soybean oil for July, 59.25. For August, 57.40. For September, 56.30. Hard red winter wheat for July, 804. Hard red winter wheat for September, 806. Oats for July, 380. And oats for September, 395. Cotton is about 76 cents a bushel. I think I said that right. We've been practicing that, me and Jimmy, but I'm not quite there yet. Cotton for December, about 77 cents. I'll do sugar just for the heck of it because Jimmy told me I could. In case you're wondering what sugar for July is, it is 23 cents, also in the red, and for October also 22 cents. So, and there's a bunch of other things. Well, crude oil for August 69.50, natural gas for July 2.68, natural gas for August 2.72. And when I come back, I will have your livestock update, market update. And it is also, today is Wednesday, which means it is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. So when we get back, I will have a little something on them.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
It was 30 years old. A gentleman brought in a 30-year-old ratchet that quit working, and they replaced it. No questions asked. 30 years old, and they replaced it. Just like that. Napa Auto Parts offers a lifetime warranty on all their tools. They stand behind their products, and they take care of the people who buy them.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
SEI Agritech in Elk City is now an Oklahoma authorized distributor for Avanta Seeds, offering Avanta Seed in corn, forage sorghum, and milo. Avanta Seeds is focused on sustainable agriculture and providing farmers with quality seed. Avanta is now offering 0% financing through December 2023. So stop by SEI Agritech on South Randall or give Kent a call at 580-225-0317 for more details on Avanta Seeds. The future begins with the seed.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Cattle have to eat. When grass runs short and you want to strengthen your herd, go with HiPro. For HiPro, go to Cowman's. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply in Erie specializes in bulk feed. It's always in stock and prices are good. And the way they take care of you is even better. If Gary Mills says he'll do it, it gets done every time. It's nice to know a place like Cowman's is around to help ag producers here at home. Cowman's Feed and Ranch Supply, 117 West 2nd in Erie. Call 526-3070.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you and God bless you.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour. Gabe really needs to make me one where it says Today in Ag with Chill Mutter. May have to get on him about that. Well, I have your West Texas Panhandle forecast for you, and I picked Dozier today. It is 98 degrees in Dozier. Heat index is 96. Humidity is 22%. Dew point 53 degrees. Wind is out of the south at 19 miles an hour. Wind gusts can get up to 30 miles an hour today, so hold on to your hats a little bit. Month-to-date precipitation is about almost four and a half inches. No red flag minutes today. No sub-freezing minutes today. I wouldn't think so. 8-inch soil temperature is 79 degrees. And like I said, it is the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour today. Taylor Ranch's entire operation is geared toward one thing, creating a great eating experience for their customers. They start by selecting the best carcass genetics available that enhance both flavor and tenderness. They are hands-on every day as they develop each calf so it will reach its full genetic potential. They then put the calves on feed, in some cases, for as many as 200 days. This optimizes and unlocks their full genetic potential and gives the consumer that juicy, mouth-watering, memorable eating experience. I can attest to that. Taylor Ranch develops every animal as if it were going to be served at their own table, quarters, halves, or whole beef for sale. Third-party, verified, all-natural, and hormone-free also available. That's Taylor Ranch Beef. You can call Jimmy or Tracy Taylor at 405-609-4662. Some really great people that raise some really great beef. If you want your beef, go get it from Mr. Jimmy Taylor because it's pretty awesome. Well, let's look at some livestock markets real quick. I'm going to refresh this because I did not do it a while ago. Live cattle for June, $179.97. Live cattle for August, $174.20. For October, $177.35. For December, $181.10. Feeder cattle for August, $240.27. Feeder cattle for September, $243.85. Lean hogs for July, $94.62. And lean hogs for August, $91.55. Today, I've got the northern Oklahoma livestock auction, or cattle auction, I should say, cattle auction report. And bear with me, because I've actually never done this, and Jimmy just told me to wing it, so we're just going to wing it. Slaughter cows steady to $5 higher. Slaughter bulls, $3 to $6 higher. Breaker cows, average weight range, 1277 to 1410, coming in around 111.64 to 118.53. Boner cows, average weighting coming in around 1085 to 1309. Average price coming in around 103 to 110.80. Lean cows, average weight 937 to around 1165. Average price $97 to $103.33. Bulls 1 and 2s, average weight coming in at 1627 to 1933. Average price coming in at 121.86 to 135.64. Bred cows 1s, oh man, there's a lot of them here. Average weight anywhere from 1010 to about 1287. Average price coming in anywhere from 1383. To about $1,600. That's really good. Bred cows, 1 and 2s. Average weight, maybe. There we go. Average weight, 1172. Coming in at 1450. Cow-calf pairs, 1s. With a calf less than 150 pounds. Average weight, 1020. Coming in at 2125. Cow-calf pairs with calf larger than 300 pounds. Average weight, 1457, coming in at 2575. Wow, that's actually really good. Cow-calf pairs, 1 and 2s, with a calf less than 150 pounds. Average weight, 800, coming in at 1535. So y'all let me tell you, y'all tell me how I did, because that was my first time actually giving an auction, a livestock auction report. And yes, the studio text line is open. It is 580-225-9697. And like I said earlier, if you're just now joining us, I do have some special guests coming with us here in just a little bit later on in the show. Right now, we're going to talk a little bit about how there's concerns with cattle and our recent weather. Our weather's kind of been all over the place. Dr. David Lallman, an OSU Extension beef cattle specialist, Dr. Lawman, discusses hardware disease with debris from storm, other storm concerns, electricity battles within cattle production, and how to handle the heat as a producer this summer, because right now it is insanely hot. He says hardware disease is related to consuming or swallowing a sharp object. You can imagine how painful that is probably for cattle. It can cut or even puncture a wound, develop pretty rapidly, and obviously it can lead to some potentially serious health issues. With debris littering many producers' fields after the storms this past weekend, Lauman says to watch out for hardware disease in your cattle. If sharp objects are consumed by the cattle, he added, serious health issues can follow. The main thing, he says, is for folks to try to remove the foreign material from their pastures or pens. If the livestock are being kept in the pen, you know that's the most practical thing they can do if possible. Understanding how dangerous this debris is in your pasture is very important. Lauman emphasized removing the debris as quickly and best you can to prevent more damage or health issues. The symptoms are you're going to notice that animal is feeling some pain. The best thing to do is contact your veterinarian and make sure that they get to evaluate those animals. Some of the symptoms that Dr. Lauman described for an animal with hardware disease is slow movement, a hunchback, extended head and neck, laying off feed, and losing weight and body condition. The best thing to do if you notice this is to contact your veterinarian. They can help you take care of that. It's not just potential of metal or sharp metal or wood objects, but also anything that animal is tempted to chew on. So, for example, tar, piece of string, rope, hay net wrap, and hand towel, plastic bag, basically. Just make sure your pastures and pens are clean. That way they don't typically or have a disease or anything like that. Lawman compared cattle to puppies or toddlers. Like I said, they always want to put things in their mouths. It's very true. The combination of the storms and people losing electricity and the more intense heat that we're going to see over the next few days would be an important consideration. With the show cattle starting to hit the barns pretty hard, Lawman said he can imagine the struggle that some families are facing now if they lost power in the storm. Keeping those cattle cool and maintaining the care regimens that are in place is a battle without electricity. In general, the extremely hot weather we're going to have, you know, people just need to be thinking about how best to care for their animals. Whether you have show cattle or not, Lauman stressed how hot weather maintenance is important for all cattle. He suggests shade, cool and clear water and airflow to best combat the heat. With a hot summer ahead, Lauman said these two things will be crucial to prioritize, especially later this week and throughout the rest of the week. It's supposed to be in the high 100s. Keeping your cattle cool is very, very important. Keeps them from getting sick. And what we have is, out on my farm, we have sheds because we don't have a whole lot of trees. So we have sheds that provide a lot of shade, and they usually just hang out there all day long while it's hot. And then once the sun starts going down, they'll start and go graze a little bit. It's also important for them to have very clean water, you know. On Taylor Mouse really emphasizes that cool, clean water is very important for all animals, whether they're large or small. So whether you got cattle, sheep, goats, pigs, and then your small animals, dogs and cats, just make sure they all have very nice and clean water so that they are staying hydrated as well. Well, when I come back, we are going to have our special guest on the show, the McKinnish family, and they're going to talk a little bit about their new business, their peach orchard in Hera, Oklahoma. So we will be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Come and get it. Are you a farmer or livestock producer? Then you're invited to attend one of several ribeye steak dinners and informational meetings courtesy of Ag Defense Risk Management. They'll be sharing the latest details on recent changes to subsidized programs offered by the USDA through federal crop insurance that helps to manage risk you face related to lack of rainfall and falling cattle prices. Leave your checkbooks at home and plan on attending their next meetings Tuesday, June 27th at the Civic Center in Hollis and Wednesday, June 28th at High Plains Tech Center in Woodward. Ribeyes will be served at noon at Hollis, 6:30 p.m. in Woodward. RSVP is not required. For more information, visit their website at agdefenserm.com or call 580-454-4367. Best defense is Ag Defense. Ag Defense is an equal opportunity employer. Hope to see you there.
Staples has everything you need to help run your small business. Shipping supplies and services to help move orders out the door. Print marketing services so you can print signs, banners, and presentations fast. And now during Staples Small Business Deal Days, you save 50% when you buy any combination of five or more boxes, mailers, and shipping tubes. Plus, find new deals for small business in-store every week. Keep your business running right and safe at Staples. Offer valid in-store online order pickup and Instacart. Exclusions apply. Not valid in Concord, New Hampshire location. Prices may vary. N71.
You could throw your flip-flop at a bug.
Ew, a bug, get it.
But the chances of actually hitting it...
Oh, over there!
...are statistically...
Yeah, it's still alive.
Unlikely. Good thing nature's got your back. Stem bug killers combine powerful active ingredients found in plants, like lemongrass and geraniol, and scientifically engineer them into effective bug-fighting formulas, safe for use as directed around people, pets, and throughout the home. Stem. Rooted in nature, optimized by science.
Your best selection of new Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs is at Doug Gray Ford and Sayre. Truckloads of new Fords are arriving daily, including Super Duty trucks, Broncos, Expeditions, and America's favorite F-150.
You guys rule.
Take the short drive to Sayre and save thousands. Or shop us online at DougRayFord.com. But hurry, they won't last long at these prices. And remember, as always, no hidden fees. At Doug Gray Ford, where we make it easy to buy a car.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325. For all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs. Or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
I love doing that. Hey, welcome back. I've got your Northwest Oklahoma pulled up for you. I picked Cherokee today. It is 95 degrees in Cherokee. Feels like 100 degrees. Heat risk is pretty moderate right now. Dew point is 67, humidity 39%. Wind is out of the southwest at 10 miles an hour. Wind gusts are going to get up to 16 miles an hour today. Sunset is going to be at 8:56 p.m. Today, it literally says hot. That's all it says. Today is going to be hot with a high of 109 degrees. Winds out of the southwest. Tonight, a low of 76 degrees. Tomorrow, also going to be hot, with a high of 106 degrees, winds out of the southwest as well. Friday is also going to be hot with a high of 101 degrees. Friday night, there's actually a 40% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 70 degrees. Saturday, 30% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 91 degrees. Saturday night, also 30% chance of thunderstorms with a low of 67. So going into the weekend, looking like y'all are going to have a few thunderstorm opportunities, basically. So I'm having a little bit of trouble contacting my people on the phone. I'm going to try them here in just a little bit. So we're going to transition a little bit. Upcoming on Friday, July 14th, is the Dust Bowl Days Farm and Ranch Festival. It is going to be at the Sarah City Park Rodeo Arena. You can come out for a great night of free family entertainment to kick off the third annual Dust Bowl Days Farm and Ranch Festival. I just said festival like a hey, festival. The Calf Rise fundraiser for the Sarah High School FFA program. The concession stand will be open for other snacks. You can enjoy a fun, action-packed event and then head over to the clubhouse for an outside concert with local favorite Dean Jackson. Admission to the concert is free with the donation to the Dust Bowl Days Festival. The Dust Bowl Days Kitty Corral will be available inside the clubhouse for children to have a safe play space and healthy snacks while adults can enjoy the concert. So, sounds like a pretty fun time. Got a concert. They've got a place for your kids if you don't want to watch them, but you want to go enjoy the concert. Sounds like a pretty fun deal, and that is Friday, July 14th, weekend after the 4th of July. So, let's talk a little bit about alfalfa. So, the second cutting of alfalfa may be underway for some farmers and is fast approaching for others. Whether baling hay, making balage, or chopping haylage, one of the primary goals of harvesting alfalfa is to minimize leaf loss. In the June issue of the William H. Minor Agricultural Research Institute's Farm Report, that was a mouthful, Ev Thomas writes that retaining alfalfa leaves is key to capturing forage quality. Alfalfa leaves are the parts of the plant that contain the highest concentration of crude protein, which drives milk production in dairy cattle. That's the end of a sentence. Which drives milk production in dairy cattle. Thomas continued to cite research from Dan Undersander, Emeritus Professor, I hope I said that right, Emeritus Professor, and forage specialist with the University of Wisconsin-Madison, that shows alfalfa leaves have a relative forage quality, or also known as RFQ, of nearly 500. In contrast, plant stems have an RFQ value between 50 and 120. Baling hay tends to result in the greatest amounts of leaf loss compared to other harvest methods. Chopping alfalfa for haylage can retain more leaves and thus result in a higher RFQ. With that said, Thomas shared some of his concerns surrounding mowing and windrow management when chopping alfalfa that can compromise a farmer's effort to capture forage quality. Thomas advises against using mowers equipped with impeller conditioners to harvest alfalfa. Impeller conditioners can improve drying times for grass forages, but they can exacerbate leaf loss in alfalfa and alfalfa grass mixes. Another thing to consider is windrow width. Forages in a narrow windrow takes longer to dry down to optimal haylage moisture levels than it would if it were laid out in a wide swath. Moreover, dry down rates are not uniform throughout a narrow windrow. Forage on top will dry much faster than plant material that is trapped underneath. While the average of too wet and too dry might result in what appears to be an acceptable moisture content, that's a poor way of achieving it, Thomas writes. Chopping narrow windrows that have been allowed to dry to 35% to 40% dry matter often results in a cloud of dust, which isn't dust at all, but shattered alfalfa leaves from the top of the windrow. A third source of leaf loss comes from raking forage. While not all rakes are equal in causing leaf loss, my preference is for a merger properly sized for the mower, and therefore the width of the windrow. He suggests making windrows that are at least 75% of a mower's cutter bar width. Doing so becomes more pertinent with greater forage yields. Farmers spend a lot of time and effort and money in establishing a productive alfalfa or alfalfa grass stand. It's a shame for a combination of a poor equipment choices and bad windrow management to result in excessive leaf loss. Wait, ain't that the truth? So wider windrows are going to result in less alfalfa leaf loss. That's a kind of a mouthful there. But like I said, alfalfa leaves are the parts of the plant that contain the highest concentration of crude protein, and especially if it is going to a dairy farm and it's being fed to dairy cattle, it's very, very important. Don't forget to tell people who you are. You sound way prettier than Jimmy does, LOL. Oh, thanks for that. I'm Jill Metter, by the way. I think I forgot to say that. Thank you for reminding me of that. I am Jill Metter. I am not Jimmy Clark by far today. He is out of town today, so I am filling in the show by myself today. We're having a good time. We're already halfway through, which is kind of crazy. This show always seems to just fly by. And I was supposed to have a special guest on, but we were having some technical difficulties. I'm going to try him here in a minute. But for now, we're going to talk a little bit about bovine core vaccination guidelines. The American Association of Bovine Practitioners, or the AABP, provides guidance to their membership on vaccination guidelines identifying core vaccine for all cattle. The establishment of bovine core vaccines was created based on the major infectious agents that require protein in all types of cattle. The list is in no way permanent and will be regularly reviewed. Future changes to core vaccine recommendations may occur based on new scientific research, veterinary feedback, and evolving production practices. Veterinarians and producers alike are required to follow applicable federal and state regulatory regulations. The core guidelines help establish a set of minimum requirements. However, there is no one-size-fits-all vaccination plan applicable to every farm and ranch. Specific unique operation or herd vaccination plans established by producers and veterinarians ensure the development of the best herd protection. A specific vaccination plan will be used on factors such as animal immune systems, as animal immune status, disease risk, biosecurity, and management availability. The best vaccine options will be those that provide protective immune coverage for diseases of concern, balanced with a defined management timeline and expense. The following bovine vaccines are considered core vaccines according to the AABP guidelines for all beef and dairy cattle. And these are some really big words, so I might just wing it on this one. IBRV, which is infectious bovine rhinotracheitis virus, bovine viral diarrhea virus, BVDV, parent influenza virus, PI3, bovine respiratory sensitile, I'm going to go with that, virus, or also known as BRSV. We'll just go with the acronyms. And clostridial vaccines. Wow. It's a mouthful there. The AABP guidance also outlines vaccines that should be evaluated for inclusion into operation-specific vaccination protocols based on risk of disease and benefits of vaccination. Cattle type, disease risk, and operation location, biosecurity practices, and herd history are all factors considered when evaluating regents such as Brucella abortus. Producers are encouraged to sit down with their veterinarian and discuss vaccination protocols on a regular basis. So if you have cattle and you have questions about vaccines and you want to make a vaccination plan, locally, our two veterinarians here in Elk City, Dr. Taylor Mouse and McConnell. There we go. Circle M. That's what I was coming for. Dr. McConnell at Circle M. Those are our two veterinarians here in Elk City. If you have questions about vaccines or you want to make a vaccination plan, I am sure that either of them would be willing to help you out with that. So we're going to take another break. I'm going to try to get my guest on the line. If it decides not to work, we're just going to wing the rest of the show. So we'll be right back.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
We will be an ag bank forever. There's just no way around it. Western Oklahoma, that's kind of a big deal around here. And we like to structure that stuff to where it fits your operation. You know, one size doesn't fit all. We're able to take what you need and have it fit you specifically. It helps guys with their cash flow, gives them a little relief, knowing they don't have to come up with a payment during the slow time of the year. They're not having to sell calves early to make a payment. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
I was a teacher, and so I taught him in high school. What I always noticed about Mickey was what a leader he was. And part of it is because he's so willing to do the work himself. We had an incident this past December. We had the freeze in Mangum, had a pipe bust in the wall, and it's just a mess. And Gary called Mickey. And honestly, the plumber did arrive first, but Mickey and his daughter were right behind them. They brought tools, and they helped Gary clean out the bedroom, and they mopped the floor, they took the carpet up. And when they left, I told Gary, I said, we couldn't live in a better town, because that would never happen anywhere else. And we're very thankful to have him. I'm Celia Nippert, and Gary and I use Mickey Lively because we know that when we have a need for our insurance, that Mickey and Farm Bureau will take good care of it.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Your tractor has a flat tire out in the field, or you're on a construction site and your truck tire is flat. So you call down to Blair. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They come to you. Blair Tire and Feed has 8 people who work like dogs to take care of you. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed. They're at the corner of Highway 283 and 19. For on-site tire service, call 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, June 23rd. 1,379 head were sold. 4 head of steers at 236 brought 326. 3 at 317 brought 330. 5 at 368 brought 316. 7 at 390 brought 302. 12 at 433 brought 275. 4 at 611 brought 233. 9 at 634 brought 227. 5 head of heifers at 206 brought 306. 10 at 366 brought 266. 6 at 478 brought 242. 8 at 495 brought 235. 15 at 550 brought 226. 3 at 647. 7 brought 195, 7 at 1335 brought 143.85, butcher cows were 60 to 120, butcher bulls brought 94 to 140, bred cows were 760 to 1875, pairs brought 750 to 2650. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma, sell every Friday at 9 a.m. You can sign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095. That's 580-497-6095.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, welcome back to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour today. I'm your host, Jill Metter. Down in southwest Oklahoma, I picked Tipton today. It is 102 in Tipton. Feels like 103 degrees. Heat risk is low right now. Dew point 59 degrees, humidity 25%. Wind is out of the south-southwest at 13 miles an hour. Wind gusts are going to get up to 19 miles an hour today. Sun is going to set at 8:53 p.m. today. You can expect a high of 112 degrees. There is a heat advisory until 9 p.m. tonight. Tonight is going to be 77 degrees, mostly clear. Tomorrow with a high of 106. Friday is looking to be 102. Friday night, 30% chance of thunderstorms. Saturday also a 30% chance of thunderstorms, and Saturday night also a 30% chance of thunderstorms. So like I said a while ago, thunderstorms kind of leading into the weekend, but until then it's going to be hot. Well, guess what? On the phone with me, I have the McKinnish family, Mike, Heather, McKinnish. And can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we're here.
Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, yes.
Okay, great. Oh, I'm so happy y'all are on the show today.
Yes, we're excited to be here.
Okay, so tell everybody a little bit about who you are and your amazing, awesome job.
Well, we decided to go look for some land, and it ended up being an orchard. And so here we are running a peach orchard.
How has that been so far? I heard that y'all had opening week just a couple weeks ago.
Yes, grand opening. Well, not grand opening, opening for the season. Actually the first week into June, and it's been popping ever since. So.
Oh, that's awesome. Well,
yes.
I read your article in the Oklahoma Living magazine, and I took quite a fascination in the peach orchard. I've never been to a peach orchard, and I was like, man, this sounds really fun. Y'all have quite to offer.
Yes, you got to try it. It's definitely an experience to do.
Okay. So I also read that y'all have quite the variety of peaches. Can you kind of elaborate what varieties of peaches y'all grow on the orchard?
Yeah, we have quite a few, actually. So it's interesting when people, you know, come out and they pick a peach and they're like, yeah, this is a great peach. And then they ask, so you just have a couple? And I'm like, no, we have about 48 varieties.
Oh, wow.
And they, Yeah, they just have never known that there were, you know, everyone's kind of like, well, a peach is a peach, isn't it? And it's like, that's actually not just a peach. So even though we have 48, there's actually tons of varieties out there. So some of our most popular ones as far as like the yellow flesh, red flesh, are kind of Red Havens, Red Globes, New Havens, Glorias. And then you get into some of our white flesh peaches, which are some favorites of a lot of people, are the White River peaches. And they're literally like white flesh inside and super juicy and super sweet.
That's awesome. So yeah. Can you tell the difference between the peaches just by looking at them?
A lot of them, yes. Just because we've been around them, you know, now, and we kind of know, oh, that looks like a Loring, or that looks like, you know, a Red Haven. But a lot of them do look the same, just because there's a lot of yellow flesh varieties, there's a lot of white flesh varieties, and red, obviously, so...
Very nice. So, yeah. How does the you pick your, like, peaches thing work?
So, people, you can actually pick them right off the tree, which is, you know, an awesome experience to people. Or you can pick them either by the pound, or we also sell them by boxes of 12 and 24. So, you kind of have your pick of how interested are you in peaches, you know. So, and we have different size boxes. We have small, medium, large for the you pick variety. So, you can pick anywhere from 7.5 pounds to about 30 pounds, however much you want to fill it up. There's no limit. You just fill it up to the top for how much you want. Or you can buy just a couple if you want. So it's really kind of your preference.
Oh, that's very nice. So Do you guys sell, like, other peach products, like peach jam or, like, pies?
Oh, absolutely. So we partner with Katie's Pies and More. She's actually a local out in Hera, and she takes our peaches and she makes pies, and she makes, or whole pies, I'm sorry, and then hand pies. They're kind of like fried pies, but they're not fried. They're actually baked in the oven, so I love it this way versus a fried pie, but they are amazing. And then we also partner with another local farmer out there at Beam Farm, and they do jams and butters for us.
Oh, butter. I didn't even know there's such a thing as peach butter. That's awesome.
Yes. It's amazing if you haven't tried peach butter, or even, it's kind of similar to like almond butter, so it's not like butter. It's kind of its own thing, so it's definitely something to try.
That's very cool. I'm going to have to, me and Jimmy are going to have to maybe take like a trip out there and come and venture and see everything.
Yes, we'd love to have you out.
I'm not a big peach person, personally, but what you're describing sounds delicious, so I may have to branch out a little bit and maybe try some different kinds of peaches.
No, it's definitely, like I said, it's definitely kind of its own thing. I mean, some people that didn't even maybe like peaches growing up, you come out to the farm, you pick one right off the tree and eat it, and it's just, it's like I said, it's an experience you have to experience. So,
well, that's very, very cool. So how long have y'all owned the orchard now?
So it's actually been a little over a year now. Like I said, kind of our story is we were looking for land. We were looking to build a house. So it's Mike and I, and then his brother, Sean, and his wife, Teresa. So we kind of do adventures together and businesses together. And we were looking for land, wanting to build a house, and we found this orchard. And they brought, well, the guys found the orchard. Then they brought the wives out, and we were like, yeah, it's gorgeous. We love it. But what are we going to do with all these trees? Like, we want to build a house. And that's going to cost some money to, you know, tear these down so we can build a house. And they're like, we're not tearing them down. This is what we have. And so we're like, this is awesome. Okay, let's go.
That's pretty awesome. Or at first, were you like, what did we get ourselves into?
There's been many moments like this.
sounds about right.
It's worth it. But we're talking 12,000 trees. You know, it was like, we need the crash course on what we need to do with this. And I mean, I grew up on a farm in Oklahoma, so I kind of know, not a peach orchard, obviously, but I'm country, a little bit country, so we got to, you know, learn how to deal with the everyday life of a farmer now.
That's pretty cool. I like it. Y'all have such a very interesting story. I love it so much.
So I
also read that you guys also do, like, a pumpkin season and a Christmas tree season?
Yes. So last year we did a pumpkin patch. People can come and, you know, buy whatever size and type of pumpkins they have at the orchard. And we also had a fruit stand in the city at Chisholm Creek in Oklahoma City, and so we sold and set up a pumpkin stand there and just decorations, a photo op area and stuff. So, and as well as Christmas. So when it transitioned, when pumpkins ran out, we went to Christmas trees and set up just kind of like a winter wonderland, and they brought Santa Claus out, and we did photo ops. It was a lot of fun.
That's pretty cool. But so as far as the summer seasons, do y'all just do peaches, or you kind of mentioned a fresh fruit stand. Do y'all do other fruits too?
Actually, we do. We are growing, and they're about ready, probably a couple more weeks, but we have watermelons coming up, cantaloupe, and honeydew melons.
Oh, I'm a big fan of all three of those.
Yeah, they're nothing, and you can't beat summer without some watermelons or any kind of melon, actually.
Oh, I agree with that statement wholeheartedly. Do you have a specific tip for, like, picking the best watermelon out? Like, what do you look for?
It kind of depends on what type of watermelon you're looking for. If you're looking for just, like, a big juicy, we have seedless. We have, obviously, the big, my mind is blank, black diamond ones, which they can get up to about 50 pounds. You just kind of, you know, you can knock on it and see if it sounds good or sounds hollow, and that should be the right one.
I'm gonna start doing that. Every time I pick up a watermelon, I'm gonna like knock on it and be like, "Is this hollow? Is it good?" So
yes, that's perfect.
Yes. So I'm kind of curious. This is something that I kind of thought of. How does the orchard do like during the winter months? Like when y'all have freezes, is there something that y'all have to do to prevent freeze damage to all of the trees?
That's a great question. Kind of, you know, in the wintertime, obviously all the peaches fall off, you know, that are over-ripened, the leaves will fall off. So they're really just dormant in the wintertime. So we just kind of keep it trimmed. We do the branches in the wintertime because they get overgrown, they get too tall, and you really don't want too many. You'd think that, you know, the more branches, the more peaches, but they can get too many on a tree and weigh a tree down and literally pull it out of the ground. So
oh, wow.
You got to keep up with the maintenance, keep up with the, you know, keeping them trimmed. And we actually have a really cool process that happens probably earlier in the year before the season starts. So it's still wintertime, maybe transitioning to spring, is that they come and shake the trees. So once the blooms fall off and the peaches start growing, we literally have somebody that comes out and has a tree shaker. And they shake every single tree, and it actually knocks off some of the fruit because you don't want too many on a tree. And it's a pretty cool process to watch.
That's very interesting. So the tree shaker, is it on a tractor kind of thing?
Yes, it's a big machine. It looks like a tractor, and we actually bring somebody. There's a guy from New York. I'm trying to think of his name now, which I'm going to draw a blank. But a guy from New York, he does pretty much like all the orchards. He comes down, he has a route, and then he shakes every single tree that you want, every aisle you want shaked. He's got it. His name's Richard. That's right, Richard.
Oh, wow. I got to come see that because I didn't even know that you could shake the trees like that. That's very, very interesting.
Yeah. Now, some people think, what are you doing? You're losing fruit. But yeah, it's actually necessary for the trees to, you know, grow and have plentiful fruit. You want big pieces of fruit, and when you get too many, they tend to be kind of smaller. So it's definitely a process that's needed.
Okay. So when does the peach picking season end?
So, Pete, it's kind of, you know, it depends on Mother Nature. We generally start in June, and then it can go all the way through September.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a little later than I thought it would be.
Yeah. It's Oklahoma weather, so you never know.
Yeah.
End of August, 1st of September is usually when peaches are pretty much done.
Yeah, that's very true. The Oklahoma weather is a little unpredictable in that area, for sure.
Yeah,
so,
totally.
If somebody wants to get in contact with the orchard or come and visit, how can they do that?
Mm-hmm. So they can check everything out on our website. It's www.winddriftorchards.com. Or they can call the phone number 405-464-7774.
Very nice. And is there a fee to come and visit the orchard, or can you just come walk through it?
People can definitely come and visit or take a tour. They can reach out for us to that. But generally, when you want to come in, there's an entry ticket of $10 for adults, $5 for kids. And then they can pick, like I said, whatever size box that they want to fill up. They can eat as much as they want out there. have use of our people movers. We kind of take them around all through the trees and the varieties of where it's good. We'll take them to our concessions. They can enjoy some peach tea and peach lemonade. Just come and kind of hang out. We've got animals that they can feed. So it's kind of a day trip that people love to take.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you so much, Heather, for spending some time with us and letting us learn a little bit about your peach orchard. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us on. We appreciate you guys.
All right, goodbye. Have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the Taylor Ranch Happy Cap Hour Ag Show today. I am your host, Jill Metter. I will not be here for the rest of the week, so y'all are stuck with Jimmy. I apologize, but I got to go enroll for college and become an adult. So y'all have a great weekend, and God bless.
We're like the software on your computer, helping you get the job done. 96.5 KECO, Elk City.